Hi, podcast listeners. We're back after a day off, and stories tend to keep happening whether we're here to talk about them or not, so that means there's a lot of ground to cover. We want to talk about Jared Schmeck's Let's Go Brandon comment to President Biden, and we want to do that in a thoroughly Christian way. Hey, we are a Christian worldview show after all. We'll dig into some COVID stuff, including Trump's interview with Candace Owens and LeBron James's meme comparing COVID to the flu and the common cold. We'll analyze a couple interesting Republican primary races here in South Carolina, and we'll conclude with a list of stories that no one would have believed possible just one lifetime ago. We appreciate you taking the time to listen.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome back from Christmas break. I hope it was a great, great time for you over the Christmas couple of days, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. And probably many of you are following up with that this week. This is Tony Beam, Director of Church and Community Engagement for the Tim Brazier Campus of North Greenville University, where Christ makes the difference and where we are equipping transformational leaders for the church and society. My co-host is Austin Barker. I am expecting him this morning. He should be here in just a little bit. So we'll look forward to that and hoping that he had a good Christmas as well. Well, I'll tell you, the Beam House is pretty much packed to the gills. We've had we had our family come, Denise's family come from Kentucky, which I consider my family as well. And we have our family here from California and our local family. And we all converged last night. So we had about 35 people in the house for dinner. And I just like to thank Bojangles for frying a lot of chicken yesterday. And then we had all the stuff. We didn't have to worry about the sides, but they threw in a whole box full of those Bojangles biscuits. I didn't even order them. I just said, look, just the chicken. Just the chicken. And lo and behold, gave us this big, huge box full of biscuits, too. So thanks to that for them. So anyway, we had a great time, passed out packages. If you want to see some pictures that really are kind of amazing, honestly. I mean, I know this may sound like bragging. I don't mean for it to be. It's fascinating to me, okay, that you've got this picture of two couples, me, and this is the way I position them on Facebook. There's me and Denise and then Dale and Debbie sitting with Dot, Denise's mom, and Debbie's mom in between. And I just simply put, you know, this is where it begins. And out of those two couples have come a multitude of, I mean, children. We have seven children, and I think 18, we're up to 18 or 19 grandchildren now, and we've got one on the way. So pretty amazing stuff. This is how Be Fruitful and Multiply works, and this is how we keep Western civilization rolling. You have children who have children who have children, and so forth, and until you fill the earth. We're still working on the subdue part. Don't think we've quite got that accomplished, but we're working on it. So, in any event, Austin's here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, everybody. I see some grandkids in matching jammies here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The jammy thing. I stay away. I'm not much into the jammies, but Denise is a jammy expert, along with my daughters and Denise's sister. So they pull all that off pretty well. But anyway, there's some pictures on Facebook if you want to see. A shameless plug for my own family. They're at my Facebook page at Tony Beam. Just look me up and you'll find them there.
Do I see Dallas Cowboys-themed jammies on you there, though, here?
Well, those are not pajamas. Those are just my Dallas Cowboy duds that I was wearing in celebration of the Dallas Cowboys' destruction of the Washington football team. I mean, when you're so far ahead in the first quarter that the defense is fighting on the other sideline.
Each other,
yes. Yeah. That's a sign that things are going well for your football program. So, and not too good for Washington, unfortunately.
And this was
what
this
am
was
I saying? Unfortunately,
offense.
I don't care what happens to Washington. Yes, that was 56 points. I mean, it was they went on a tear, and Dak Prescott looked like Tom Brady on steroids, which he probably is. Not, I'm kidding. I have no idea. And I mean, it was really good. By the way, I may go back and read. I can't remember the guy's first name. I never can remember his first name. He writes for the Washington Post. He's a humorous columnist. His last name is Barry, and he wrote a reflection on the year going January through December.
Dave Barry.
I thought it was Dave Barry. Yeah, I just can't. For some reason, I can't remember Dave. So I didn't know a lot about Dave Barry, and my son directed me to this Washington Post thing. And I was crying. I mean, I was laughing so hard.
Dave Barry's funny.
I couldn't breathe, and I couldn't even say to my daughter. She was like, "Dad, are you okay?" I said, I couldn't tell her. So I may read one section, because one of the funniest things he did was on the Super Bowl, which he called the Tom Brady Bowl. As he gave it away, and then he kind of went through this whole list of stuff that it was funny. And he skewers everybody. If you wonder, oh, I don't want to read that because he's probably goes after conservatives. No. He goes after everybody. And the way he writes is so funny. Even when he comes after people you like, you have to smile because of the way he does it. It's very artful. So anyway, that's at Washington Post, in case you're interested. A couple of things I want to talk about. I'm going to telegraph them because I don't want to get started. We've taken up a good part of the first segment, so don't have a lot of time. But we need to talk a little bit about the Omicron that's back in the news, the fact what the Biden administration is doing and not doing, and the irony. What I really want to get into is the irony of President Donald Trump as it relates to coronavirus in general. And it because this is a fascinating thing to me. Politics has so many views, so many angles, that it is fascinating to me when a political move and a cult-like figure, and I don't mean that in a bad sense, because there are elements of the cult, of Donald Trump, that have created a following that is somewhat cult-like. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that likes him, everybody that votes for him, everybody, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying there's some who, within the support of Donald Trump, have sort of created a cult-like atmosphere in following him, and what is happening to that based on statements that Trump is making that are turning off some of his most ardent followers. And this is the thing about politics, that when you dive into it, it either makes you crazy or it fascinates you. And there's some things about it that does both to me. So anyway, I want to talk about that. But before we get into that, in the next segment, I want to start with the Let's Go Brandon call that was made on Christmas Eve, where Joe and Jill Biden were doing kind of a nice thing. I know we don't want to say anything nice about President Biden, but he's calling kids. Presidents have done this before. He's calling kids and their families, or they're calling in. He's intercepting calls that are coming to NORAD and actually stepping in as President of the United States to try to have a conversation to tell, every average, everyday American families, Merry Christmas. And so he does this, and there's a guy in Oregon that at the end of the call says, "Let's go, Brandon," to the president. And the president says, "Let's go, Brandon, I agree." So that's become, of course, a huge news story. And there are several aspects of this that I want to talk about in the next segment. Because there's a Christian worldview here that should be considered. And I know a lot of people are not going to like that when I start talking about it. I hope most people listening to this program will, because we try to bring that perspective to bear on about everything we do. So I do think it's important. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about here, what happened on Christmas Eve is that essentially you had the North American Aerospace Defense Command, that's NORAD, they have a Santa tracker line. And they set it up years ago where kids can call in and track Santa Claus, because they'll say, NORAD is tracking Santa Claus, and NORAD will release these Santa tracker reports to news agencies so that the 11 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 11 o'clock news, local news on all these stations around the country can, say, "Oh, we've got this report from NORAD just in," and then they'll use some kind of cool graphic, and it looks like you can see Santa and Rudolph leading the way, because you can see his red nose glowing, and Santa's coming across the sky. So it's fine. I mean, you know, it's all part of doing and playing Santa Claus. So this apparently what happens is the Bidens decide for Christmas Eve to essentially get on the phone with some of these parents and surprise them in a way, you know, and say, hey, this is the president. You're actually talking to the president. And so this happens to a guy. I was trying to find his name in the story here. I meant to write it down before I actually got here. But, of course, it's not going to be printed anywhere in an obvious place. Do you remember the guy's name?
No, but I'll find it. Go on with the story and I'll find it.
So anyway, this guy's, he's, you know, his kid, he's talking to the president of the United States on Christmas Eve. A lot of excitement. And at the end of the call, this guy says to the president, "Let's go, Brandon." And President Biden replied, "Let's go, Brandon. I agree." Now, I have no idea whether President Biden even knows what "Let's go, Brandon" means. I mean, maybe nobody's told him. Is that possible?
See, that's the first. You said there were several aspects to that.
Yeah, that's
that
one.
To me is one of the big ones, you know, is the fact that he was so oblivious to, I mean, he wasn't having a sincere conversation. It was like, I'm going to put this mouth on autopilot. I'm going to say the thing I'm supposed to say, and I'm not going to respond in any meaningful way or intelligent way to what's being said on the other end of the line. That's what that sounds like. Maybe there's another way to interpret that,
there's another way to interpret it. I mean, you're talking about Biden?
Yeah.
I mean, what are you? I didn't hear the whole conversation,
right?
Or what was said. But what are you supposed to? Either he doesn't know, or he had an addle moment. Which, I mean, all of these things are possible.
Right.
It's possible that he's been shielded from this "Let's Go Brandon" stuff.
Well, someone asked Jen Psaki about, you know, what's Biden's thoughts about the "Let's Go Brandon" thing, and
she said he had thoughts.
She responded. He said I'm sure that he doesn't spend much of his time at all thinking about
that. Okay, and he may not. I don't know what he knows about it, but at the spur of the moment, being surprised, addled, whatever. I mean, what do you do? You just own it. I think I would have ignored it, or I think it would have been a better strategy, or just said something like responded with "Merry Christmas"
right.
or something
so
like
if,
that.
So if magnanimity was the order of the day there, if that's what Biden was aiming for, was just to be magnanimous and de-escalate the thing,
right.
You know, I agree, "Let's go, Brandon," was not the right thing to say in order to achieve that end.
Right. I mean, for him to respond with it and say, "I agree," I don't know that he thinks, obviously he doesn't think about these things clearly. He just responds. And that's typical. You know, look, I do the same thing. I'm getting older.
It's like,
and there are times when I respond quicker than normally I would. I would have been maybe more thoughtful. Age can make you more thoughtful in the long run, but sometimes under pressure, it can cause you to respond faster. I don't know how to explain.
See, I thought that I didn't think it was age because I do that, but I just attribute that to impulsiveness on my part and a lack of regulator on this device.
Yeah, but
I'm talking
about people who have been accustomed to being in the spotlight for political battles for years.
Right.
I mean, you learn after a while how to respond to things that you don't want to talk
about.
Not
Joe Biden. He's been a gaffe machine for his entire career.
Well, he has been, but the fact that he's a gaffe machine demonstrates that in order for it to be gaffes, there have to be periods of time where he's lucid in the responses that he gives. And considering that he's been in office for 110 years,
right.
you figure that you develop a certain way of responding to stuff like this.
Right.
And I think as you get older sometimes, you trust your autopilot. And age should cause you to stop trusting the autopilot.
Gotcha.
Because you just don't know what age is doing to your thought process when it's quick.
And because it's a
autopilot.
Slow change, it's a gradual change.
That's
you have
right.
to be aware of that possibility.
So, I'm not defending him.
Psychological plasticity and all that kind of stuff. You just don't roll with new situations.
It'd be really easy for me to just come on here and rip him a new one. You know, and talk about how, oh, the guy is so senile. He didn't even know when he's being insulted. I mean, how could you respond to that? I just,
So that's that part of it.
There's okay? that part of it.
Because that, I don't know of any other explanation, you know, and it's pretty consistent. It's part of a pattern, too.
Yeah. So that there's, is there evidence that that could have just been a mental, you know, a sort of a brain bump or something like that? Yeah. I mean, we've got some other evidence that that's certainly possible.
Right.
So I get that. All right, Reggie, let's get Reggie's take here before we go on.
Good morning, guys. Well, in a lot of
yes,
I hope that we haven't became what we hated. You know, we would scream and holler when they would go after Donald Trump, but it's clear in Scripture. He's my president. I can't, yeah. You know, out of respect and out of a relationship that I have, I can't act like that, and it just really breaks my heart. But as far as him being in office all these years, he's probably like the dog that's caught the car, finally, after chasing it all these years. You know, you can be on a football team and be the, you know, the kicker or the punter or whatever, lower, but you're not the one walking under center and taking the snap. So
right.
I know, Tony, you'll appreciate that analogy.
Yeah, I do appreciate that. All right, Reggie, thanks. I appreciate the call
very
much.
Jared Schmeck is the guy's name. He's 35.
Okay, Jared
Schmeck.
Schmeck.
Or Schmuck. I'm not sure which one.
No, we'll go with Schmeck.
We'll go with Schmeck. Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to be. I'm not going to try to, you know, maybe make fun of his name. So Jared Schmeck, he's the guy that makes the statement. Okay, the other thing about this is that it's Christmas Eve. Your 7-year-old son is involved in this.
He's got four kids.
He's got
the guy
four
does.
Kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's at least one of them involved. Yep.
There's whichever one was on the phone. And you're talking to the president of the United States, which is, even if it's somebody that you don't like, it is a great honor to be able to have that kind of contact with the president of the United States. Do you realize how many people want to have their moment to be able to talk to the president? And so maybe, okay, he's a conservative. He doesn't like Joe Biden's policies.
He said as much. He said, at the end of the day, I have nothing against Mr. Biden,
right,
but I am frustrated because I think he can be doing a better job.
Right. So now he tries to downplay, okay? So he says this with his kids in the room on a call with the president of the United States on Christmas Eve, which it was supposed to be just a nice gesture, gets turned into an opportunity to basically flip off the president.
That's right.
At the end of the call.
That's it.
And people are calling him, and this is what really gets under my skin, a hero for doing that. They're using the word, Donald Trump Jr. called him a hero.
You've got to be kidding me.
Oh, absolutely. So, and there are a lot of people who think this is just the coolest thing, that this guy would have the courage, that he would have the guts, that he would have the chutzpah, to actually say this to the president. The thing that, you know, boy, if I could say it to the president. He said it for me because I wish I could say it to the president. I guess totally ignoring the context, the timing, and not that all those things should matter greatly, but they do contribute when you think about the setting. This is the celebration of the coming to earth of Jesus Christ, the incarnation, and you're going to punctuate it on a call with the president in front of your children, setting an example of using what is a vulgarity. And let's make no mistake. I'm going to say, let's go, Brandon, because it isn't outwardly a vulgarity, but unless you use it in that term, in that fashion. And although it's quickly migrating into a place where you really can't use it without it being a vulgarity, but in that context, certainly he intended it to be used that way. Now, he's from Oregon. So what does he think is going to happen? He's a conservative in Oregon. Does he think that progressives are going to come out and pat him on the back? I mean, he's in a state where people took over part of downtown and made it a separate country because they hate the United States so much. And then and Joe Biden is a progressive. He represents the progressive wing of his party that supports that kind of activity. Did he really think he could get by with saying that to the president on a phone call on Christmas Eve and not have a bunch of people come after him in Oregon? Excuse me? So he starts backing up, and he's kind of apologizing because he's saying, well, I really didn't mean it. It's free speech, and I really should be able to say this and in a way that was joking. I really didn't mean it the way that it's meant. And, I mean, he just says a bunch of alphabet soup verbiage that really doesn't mean anything. And then, Austin, you were telling me he goes on some conservative interview and laughs about it.
I wish that I could remember who it was, because I'd be a more credible person if I could tell you where he interviewed. But yes, he had a conservative.
So depending on which environment he's in, it either uses it to his benefit or tries to defend himself. So the whole thing, folks, here's from a Christian perspective, from a follower of Jesus. God's word should be the standard that we live by. And, of course, Matt Walsh has done this big piece over at Daily Wire pointing out the hypocrisy of the left who are going after this guy because they – and yet they gave a pass to Robert De Niro, who said F the president, Trump, during an award ceremony. I think it was the Tony Awards. And so – or was it, during the Tony Awards. And so, you know, it's this thing that because they do bad stuff, then they should shut up and leave people alone who are on the conservative side who do bad stuff. How about this? How about we all agree that vulgarity in common parlance, when it comes to people that or the office that deserves respect, how about we all just agree that we leave that stuff off? Do you think we'd be better off or worse off if we all just agreed we're not going to use open vulgarity toward the president or elected officials and portray them in such a way that is absolutely despicable?
So, I mean, there's literally a scripture verse about this. Let me read to you Jared Schmeck, and I found out he went on the Steve Bannon podcast.
Oh, wow.
And, yes, and embraced election denialism, and the election was stolen and a bunch of other
so
stuff.
He's out there.
And, of course, he's from Eastern Oregon, okay? Eastern Oregon is libertarian heaven.
Yeah.
Have you read any stories about libertarians in Eastern Oregon?
Yeah, okay.
The further west you go, the more libertarian the Republican Party gets. And out there, it's full-blown. So this is what he said. I understand there's a vulgar meaning to let's go Brandon, but I'm not that simple-minded no matter how I feel about him. I don't even know what that means.
That's an alphabet soup verbiage. That's a salad word. That's a word salad that means absolutely nothing.
He went on to say, he seems like he's a cordial guy. There's no animosity or anything like that. It was merely just an innocent jest to also express my God-given right to express my frustrations in a joking manner.
It cannot be both.
Okay, it can't be both. And let's just say in Proverbs 26:18, it says that a man that says to his neighbor, does a joke, pulls something on his neighbor and then says, I was just joking, is like a man that's shooting arrows in the air and accidentally kills someone.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you can't do something that's truth. There's another proverb that says, much truth is spoken in jest. And so there's a lot of times that people will joke about something that they actually, there's enough truth to it, but then if they're pinned on it or if they get put into an uncomfortable spotlight because of it, they'll be like, well, I was just joking after all.
And let's just be honest here. Let's cut to the chase. What he says about it now is garbage. There's no question. You don't say that to the president by accident. You don't say he did it to create a firestorm. I mean, he was expressing his views, but that certainly was not a respectful way to do it. It was not a joking way to do it, and he knew exactly what he was doing.
Yes, he did.
When he said it.
We're not that simple-minded to believe that, sir.
That's exactly right. And then you go to Ephesians, and I don't know how many times I talk to particularly young people, younger than me, which is a lot of people now, that seem to have no concern whatsoever with the way or manner in which we communicate. And, I mean, Paul's words here could not be clearer. This is Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Give grace to those who hear. Not condemnation, not vulgar aspersions, but to dispense grace. That's the call of God on the life of a Christian. And when we laugh about this, or we minimize it, or we say, oh, that guy, they do it, so we can do it. No, everybody stop it, because to live by what the Bible teaches is the best thing for humanity. And we all have a responsibility, but particularly Christians. I get it. Non-Christians are not going to follow this. But when Christians decide not to follow it, then we have nothing to call the world into account for.
That's right. We've lost our moral high ground.
Right. Okay, well, we'll wrap up. We may take the rest of this segment. It's going to be kind of a short one here to kind of wrap this up. But what's the guy's first name?
Schmuck. Jared.
Jared.
Schmuck.
Jared.
Schmuck. I'm going to call him Schmuck.
Schmuck.
Because he's a schmuck.
No, it's a he.
He's a schmuck.
It's Jared Schmuck. I'm not going to make fun of the guy's name. I'm also not going to question his Christianity. Because he says he's a Christian and that he follows God first. When you don't know a person, the only thing you can do, as a friend of mine has said, is be a fruit inspector. Now, I don't have enough fruit in front of me to declare Jared Schmuck a person who says they're a Christian and are not, because I don't know his testimony. I don't know how he lives the rest of his life. I know enough about this situation to say that in this particular instance, he did not hold up a Christian ideal or give a great Christian testimony to the world. Okay? He just didn't. He gave opportunity to coarsen public discourse and to speak things to an authority figure, whether you like him or not, in an extremely vulgar and disrespectful way. And there's nothing biblical about that. It's not biblical when Robert De Niro does it. It's not biblical when, Kathy Griffith does it, when she cuts off, she publishes a picture of her holding President Trump's bloody head. I mean, all of that falls under the category of stuff that we should, as a culture, as a society, condemn with one voice. And we don't need to start making the moral equivalent and make these arguments. That's why. And Matt Walsh, God bless him.
My kids do this all the time. They're like, he bit me. I punched his face. Well, I'm like, you know what? You can't control what he does, but you can control what you do.
What Matt Walsh is trying to do is point out the hypocrisy on the other side. But I just don't find it fulfilling to do that. When you say, okay, they do bad stuff, so they shouldn't be complaining or going after our guy when they do bad stuff.
That's stupid and childish. That type of reasoning is.
It's beneath what I think Matt Walsh's normal intelligence. I mean, Matt Walsh is he's a lot smarter guy than I am. Okay, I read his stuff, and I really appreciate and also listen to him occasionally, not a lot, but occasionally, and I admire his ability mentally to look at the issues and talk about them, and the wide range that he steps into. I appreciate that, but in this particular instance, I just don't think it's helpful. Because Matt Walsh names the name of Jesus. He gives a Christian testimony. And by the way, he's written a hilarious book about a little boy that decides he wants to be a rhinoceros, I think. So then his mom is compelled. At first, they try to dissuade him. And then his mom is compelled by pressure coming from all sides that she's got to allow the rhinoceros to come out in her son and all that. I mean, it's a kid's book.
Is it Johnny the Walrus?
It's a walrus. Yeah, that's it. It's okay. Not a rhinoceros. Thank you. Johnny the Walrus. So, and I mean, it is a lighthearted way to look at a ridiculous topic, which is the whole transgender movement, particularly as it relates to children. So I appreciate all of that. But I just don't think it's helpful when you engage in the stuff like, well, because Robert De Niro is a bad guy, then we shouldn't be talking about this guy Jared Schmuck when he talks to the president this way. There's no place for that, except to say that everybody needs to take a step back and stop this kind of communication even in the political arena, and especially in that arena, if you're going to communicate as a believer. Now, the final aspect of this that needs to be pointed out is Brandon Brown. Brandon Brown is a NASCAR driver. I mean, he's not a big name star. He's not one of the top drivers in NASCAR, at least that I've been able to see. He's a guy out there trying to make a living. He's trying to find his place. He's trying to move up in the NASCAR pack. And in order to do that, you've got to have sponsors. You've got to have people that are willing to pay for your car, pay for your crew, put their advertising on your car so that you can afford what it costs these days to field three or four cars. I mean, you can't go to a major NASCAR race with one car. You've got to go and have a backup, and you need a backup to the backup, and all this stuff. I mean, you're traveling with a mechanic, I mean, a whole garage crew, plus a pit crew, and you got to pay these people. And he's not being able to get sponsors. I mean, he's lost sponsors. He's approaching people, and they don't want to have anything to do with him because of Let's Go Brandon. They don't want to be associated. They think corporations are afraid that if they put their stuff on Brandon Brown's car, people are going to go, oh, you're supporting Let's Go Brandon. It has nothing to do with him. Nothing. He is completely innocent. And in the way he talks about this, I mean, he says, look, I don't get involved in politics. Our whole navigation, he says, is you want to appeal to everybody because all in all, everybody is a consumer. I have zero desire to be involved in politics. He was asked about this in Newsweek, he actually had an op-ed in Newsweek where he said, look, racing at 200 miles an hour doesn't give me a lot of time to think about politics. And even if I did, I've always preferred the roar of the engine to the roar of my voice. You know what? You should have the right in America to say, I want to stay out of politics. I'm a guy. I want to be out here. I'm a NASCAR driver. I want to go show up at the track. I want to drive well. I want to make enough money to pay my family, to keep my car going, to pay my pit crew, and just live my life.
This is the old, I just want to sell a widget, you know? I just want to make money and be a business person.
Just let me live. And I deserve to have somewhat of a private life. He's been dragged into this because of something that was completely out of his control. So you ask me, do I have sympathy for him? Oh, yes. But there is no, the bad part, there is no remedy. I mean, you know, if he were to come to me as, if he were a Christian and he came to me as his pastor and said, Pastor, what am I going to do about this? You know, what's going to be my solution?
Gulping like a fish out of water is.
I have no idea. You were being interviewed, and this thing happened while you were being interviewed. You got hit by a bus. I mean, and when somebody comes to you and says, "What am I going to do about the fact I got hit by a bus?" Basically, you just say, "Well, I'm sorry.
I hope you recover.
Things go better for you."
It's moments like that that actually make me believe that life is more in control of me than I am.
Oh,
you know, it's just because, man, there are times when you're just like, there was nothing.
Real.
You know, I mean, it's like New Year's resolutions time for me. I'm making goals for the next year, and I made 20 last year, okay? And I kept 9 of them and failed spectacularly on 9 of them and mixed bag with 2 of them. Well, one of them was to go on my annual deer hunting trip with my friend out in Idaho. And it didn't happen, but it's because his wife was having a baby and just the schedules just didn't match up. And I'm like, well, you know, there goes a resolution that I had no control over that. You know, there was nothing I could have done.
Right.
And so I'm not going to guilt myself over that, you know.
Well, that's this guy. I mean, there's absolutely nothing. I mean, there are people who I'm thinking about the guy, and I don't remember because I don't study this stuff, but it was a playoff game where a guy leaned over and tried to catch a foul ball, and it caused the team to lose that game.
It was in Chicago.
I can't remember the kid's name.
Yeah.
But anyway, he interfered because he leaned over and tried to catch a ball.
Yeah.
And so it ended up with the team that
the Cubs
lost. And they lost and didn't, and then they lost another game, which knocked them out of going to the World Series, and everybody just hated this guy. I mean, Law and Order did It was the Cubs or was it the Mets? Because Law and Order did. Well, they could have just they might have just transposed it over to the Mets. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they even did an episode where the guy got killed in a bar by, you know, somebody that would, I guess, had animosity toward him
or had money on the game.
That's the thing that they started investigating. So, and look, even that guy bears some responsibility because he did
reach out and try to innocent in and of itself.
In that he probably didn't, in the excitement of the moment, here's the ball. Maybe he doesn't know the rules that if you reach out over, you know, you're in the field of play and you interfere with a ball, that's going to go against a team. I don't know.
I feel like you're describing my life because it's weird how all philosophical this gets. Because another of my resolutions was to plant a bunch of hostas and sell them around Christmas time and make our Christmas money.
Yeah.
It was going great. I had all the seeds in the seed tray and everything was going fine until my 2-year-old daughter comes out and tips the seed tray over to play in the dirt.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, there goes our Christmas.
There goes Christmas.
There goes Christmas. You know? And
the Grinch it showed up in the form of my daughter.
But the thing is ultimately, like you said, I do bear some responsibility for putting it where she had access to it. But how could I have anticipated that she would have wanted to play in the dirt and tip my seed tray of hostas over?
Okay, we've given good illustration of how this happened. For Brandon Brown, none of that applies. He was minding his – because how many times they stick a microphone in their face after a race?
Happen?
That's going to happen. And you've got to do it.
Right.
I mean, NASCAR expects you to do it.
Right.
And here's a bunch of people going, let's go, you know, and of course that's not what they were saying.
Right.
And he's trapped, and I feel bad for him. A couple of things that we might can throw in together here. I don't know if they'll fit, but we'll see if we can force them. I was trying to do that yesterday with a battery for my motorcycle. Didn't work out too well, so maybe this will work better.
Well, good thing, because now you invalidated the warranty, and they're going to charge you more to work on it.
Warranty. It's a 2012. So anyway, and Biden had this press conference, or really wasn't a press conference. It was a call with the nation's governors where they were talking about strategies to fight the Omicron virus, which is just dumb, okay, to be talking to political officials about fighting a virus that is impossible for political officials to do anything about. And President Biden was, you know, he thought he was being smart. He thought he was being politically savvy when he attacked President Trump, said he was managing the virus terribly, as if President Trump could manage the virus. And so, you know, here's Biden saying, I will shut the virus down. Elect me president, and I will shut down the virus. Well, as of now, more people have died from the virus in 2021 than died in 2020 since the virus began. So President Biden is now the president of more people dying from coronavirus than President Trump. And the left wanted to talk about that President Trump is out there killing all these people, and that's why we need Biden, because Biden will shut the virus down. And we're at a point where, I mean, and does that really mean anything when I say that? I don't blame President Biden for that any more than I blamed President Trump. But I'm pointing it out simply to say, when you're a politician and you run on a platform that says, I'm going to shut down a naturally occurring thing that you have no control over. That's like saying, I'm going to make sure that there are no thunderstorms in 2021. I'm going to make sure that we don't have a single hurricane, no tornadoes. You elect me president, and we're going to be free from any natural disaster because I have absolute power. I mean, that's what I feel like I'm listening to when I'm listening to this guy. And it's absurd. And now it's coming back to bite him big time. Because everybody, you know, the left is attacking him because he won't put out mask mandates and he won't beat up Ron DeSantis. He won't drive down to Florida from Washington and personally punch Ron DeSantis in the nose for being the worst state in the country, which it's not, for coronavirus. Okay? So this is what's happening. So he's talking to these governors and he gets finished and he says, I want to thank the governors for the partnership, and I mean that sincerely. With that, I will turn it back over to Jeff, and I understand you guys might have some questions. Jeff? Jeff Zients then responds, good, I think we're going to clear the press first. So this is the most transparent. Biden made two promises that are on display here. He made a lot of promises. But one was, I'm going to shut down the virus, and I'm going to open up the government. We're going to do those two things. Shut down the virus, open up the transparency to government. And in one fell swoop, he completely distanced himself from both things, because he made it clear that there's no way. In this call, he actually said the federal government can't control the virus. Well, duh. If you'd said that from the beginning, if the press had acknowledged that from the beginning, the virus is going to do what the virus is going to do. But no, you want to come out with vaccine mandates. By the way, the United States Supreme Court is expediting the vaccine argument, and I think it's going to be January the 7th, or is it January the 9th? Here, let me pull this up right quick so I can give you the right
date. The 9th is Sunday, so it might not
be. It's January 7th.
Yeah.
So the U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments January 7th in cases challenging two of the Biden administration's COVID-19 vaccine mandates. One has to do with healthcare workers, and the other has to do with corporations or businesses with over 100 employees. And so the Supreme Court's going to take it up. They're going to consider it on January 7th. But in any event, the vaccine mandate now is completely bogus, because it was issued by OSHA under the idea that it's going to protect workers in the work environment, and OSHA has that responsibility, so they therefore can do that. Now, that works with cigarette smoking, right? Because if you say that we've pretty much established that secondhand smoke is bad for you, so having somebody smoking in a work environment that can affect people that don't smoke may be a honest OSHA concern. But most of all, OSHA is trying to regulate businesses to make sure people are not put in dangerous situations around machinery and chemicals and stuff like that. But even if you want to extend it to people smoking, you could make an argument for that. You can make no argument for this vaccine mandate, none, because you can be triple vaccinated. You can be triple vaccinated and taking hydroxychloroquine and getting ivermectin, implants into your body that's coursing ivermectin through every portion of your body, and you can still get Omicron. You can still get this variant. It's not going to keep you from getting the virus. And if you test positive, you're going to have to quarantine. Now, even the CDC is coming back now and saying, oh, only 5 days. Not 10 days anymore. Only five. Because we're so concerned, and this is such a serious situation, that here's how we're going to respond to it. We're going to cut back from 10 days to five. And, this whole thing has been ridiculous. And the Biden administration kicking the governor, the press out after talking to the governors, complete lack of transparency, a complete fail on shutting down the virus. I mean, now the press is coming after him about not having enough tests available. I don't even care. Can I just be honest with you? I don't even care about that. Who cares? We're going out and testing people that are asymptomatic. What for? If you're asymptomatic and you pass it along to somebody else that becomes asymptomatic, so what? So I'm triple vaxxed. I could get Omicron. And if I get it, I can pass it along to somebody else. Now, I may not get as sick because I've got all this vaccine coursing through my veins. Hopefully, that's going to be some kind of advantage. But it's the only advantage that I can see, because people with the vaccine max are getting the virus.